Lord wanted to break in people's hearts so they could enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. You can see the rich young ruler, what was his problem? He did everything he was supposed to. But what one thing did he lack? The possessions he didn't want to release. He wanted to hold on those possessions. And that's why he couldn't enter in. I believe there's a big portion of our culture that does not want to enter in because of this very reason. And that is why people buck at the prosperity message and buck at finances when the church talks about it, because it's the very thing the enemy has gripped on people's lives that they can't enter in. But nobody wants to talk about it because they don't want to be talked about. Well, guess what? You can talk about me because I have to talk about it, because I'm going to be judged if I don't. What if I kept 15% of the New Testament out because I didn't want to talk about finances? I would be limiting 15% of the gospel. I guarantee there will be a payment for me when I get to the feet of Jesus for not ministering on that 15%. Right? If you really want to think about finances, you got to look at it through the eyes of God. You got to see it through the eyes of God. Money's not bad, it's the love of it. And if you can break the love of money, you'll probably get more. Amen. If you break the power of the enemy and the mindset about finances and obey what the word of the Lord says concerning it, the blessing of God is way bigger than what your job can bring. Amen. The blessing of God is way bigger than a financial inheritance that you may get from a family member or a friend or a business. There's not. Who was the richest man in the world? King Solomon. He had everything. Everything. It even baffled the world how much money he had. Even the queen came and went in and was baffled. Like, fell out at how glorious it was, what God was doing. It's interesting to me how much is about finances and scripture and money, yet people are shy, don't want to talk about it. They run from it. Because money will have a grip on people's lives. Material things have a grip because that becomes their God. And when that is your God, it's replacing God in that area. So whatever you worship above God, that becomes an idol to you. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And when I read that scripture and I think about that, I think to myself, every evil thing that's going on, money's attached to it. Every evil work. I'm not talking about in the church. I'm talking about government. I'm talking about around the world. When you look at it, you look at the World Economic Forum, it's all about money. It's all about control. And if people can get your money and they have your money and they control money, they'll control you. And that's what they do. And you can see it everywhere. People don't want to talk about that. I'm telling you, when you break the power of money and you trust in the living God, He's the one that's going to see you through. And you don't have to worry about any World Economic Forum. You don't have to worry about the gas prices. You don't have to worry about inflation. You don't have to worry about those things, because that's not your God. And your finances aren't based off of that, or the government system, or what the bank wants to loan you money for. You know, your banking system is in heaven, and it's on a whole different playing field than what the world has. Rust and moth can't touch it, the Bible says. Amen. So that's why we talk about money here at New Freedom Church, is because I don't want it to grip your life and limit you from what God has. But yes, we operate with money in the natural, so we have to know how to be a good steward with it. We have to know that tithes and offering are what the will of the Lord is. And we must obey those things, because that puts us in the position for God to move on our lives and to bring provision in our lives when maybe somebody else isn't getting it. Why? Because you have faith in God and they have faith in the world or the system. And when you have faith in the system, you're bound to that system. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. That is why New Freedom does not take government money. We will not take COVID money. They offer me $26,000. You get that phone call. Did you have anybody that was affected by COVID in your church, they are subject, if they're an employee, they can have this much money. I'm thinking, you foul devil. You want to know why? Because if I take that money, I'm attached to that system. And I'm not going to do that. I will not do that. And you may say, 26, that can do it. Sure, it can do a lot, but it can't do what God can do. Amen. And there's a whole nother side of God that money can't, money cannot do something when the enemy wants to do something. But guess what? When you're sold out to God, He'll take care of every area of your life, not just your finances. Amen. Amen. He'll keep the devourer away from your life in Jesus' name. Money's a big thing. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So that tells me something. If our treasure is in just making money in this life, that's where our heart is. Guess where your heart is not with God if it's in the treasures of this world. There's so much scripture concerning money and finances. And the enemy has a strong grip on people's mindsets and knowledge of finances because of this very reason. If people get broke from the poverty mentality, the lack mentality, or what's going on and what they see, if that can get broken off of you, I'm telling you, you can run with freedom. You don't have to worry about anything. Amen. Just like when you got saved, when sin was removed, you felt so much lighter. Finances work the same way. When you give your heart and life to God and you give your finances to God and say, God, my life is your life. You do it. You're going to provide all of my needs. You'll supply everything that I have need of. Every desire that I have, you're going to meet it, Lord, because my focus is on you. It's not on anything of this world. It's on you. And when you can do that, all these scriptures about finances come alive to you and you see them and you become a good steward of what God's given you. You know, if you can steward your money, you can steward everything else in your life. Money has the greatest power over people's life. And if you can break the power of money and greed in your life, you can break the power of anything else in your life. I'm not sharing that there's a scripture reference. I'm just saying from experience, in dealing with people's lives and people's hearts as a pastor, money has a great grip on people. They'll stop tithing when things get tight, right? They'll stop giving when things get tight. They'll stop doing this, this, and this. But they'll make time for a vacation. They'll make time to spend money on what they want to spend it on. But God's out of the picture when times get tight. I'm just being honest with you. People will literally save all year long to go do some heathen thing for a week. Some sinful thing for a week. And they place themselves right under the grip of the enemy. To just twist and do whatever he wants with them. And their focus just is all about that one thing once a year that we're going to save for, that we're going to go do, and the enemy's got them right where he wants. They never get breakthrough. I'm telling you, I break it in Jesus' name. I see, not in this congregation, but I see it. And this isn't against anybody that's renting a house, but I'm telling you, God wants you to own the house. He wants you to own the house. There's seasons of renting. There's seasons of borrowing. I get that. I understand it. But there's a lot in the scripture about do not be debt free. Do not be servant. You're a servant to the lender. Why is that? That is because the lender has control over you because he owns you. Because if you don't pay, you're gone. And the government does the same thing. I did not know my message was going to go this long on offering. But think about it. Think about even when you own your house. If you don't pay your property tax, guess what? They can remove you from your property. They take it from you and they sell it. The bank will sell it or the government will sell it. So why do we press so hard to own things when we can't really own them anyway? Did you know the government can come in and say, you know what? We need this property. It's ours now, not yours. And you... maybe two generations worth of your family work for that farm or work for that land. And the government can just come in and say, you know what, we need this for government work. And they do whatever they want with it. And you got to go find somewhere else to go. See, that's why you need your riches in heaven. That's why you need to trust God. Because we're coming in a day and an hour where the comfort of what's going on around us, that's not going to be here like it was. And I'm not saying that to put fear in anybody, but I'm saying that now it's a good time to trust in God now when you can make the decision and it's easy versus when it's life or death and you got to make the decision. You understand what I'm saying? Faith has to be an operation. We got to trust God now. Even though it may look like things are okay, when you read the Bible, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. The things that happen in this country, yes, we can have a great awakening, and I'm believing for that. But the natural side of things, we're coming to an end. It's the end of the road here. It's the last season. Amen. The last generation before the Lord comes. I'm serious. People look at me like, how can you talk like that? I read my Bible. You read about Russia and Ukraine in Scripture. It's talking about coming from the north in Israel. The country above Israel is Russia. Yeah. It's happening. Things are happening for that. The earth is travailing. Yeah. This is not a financial message, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is releasing me to release this. You must get ready, church, because the day and the hour is at hand. Come awake, Jesus says. Be watchful. Look and see what is happening. You will see the shaking happening. You will see the earthquakes. You will see the famine in the land. You will see nation against nation. And then I will come. Then I will come. It is happening. He could potentially come anytime. I'm not saying he's coming today. I don't know. Jesus didn't even know. But Jesus did everything to prepare for his coming. And Jesus set us up so we could prepare for his coming. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Amen. This is a big deal. Yeah. This is huge. The presence of God is on this. You have to know that the time is now. Yeah. Do not let finances limit you from the time we're living in. Yeah. Don't let money dictate your life. Please do not let it. I'm not up here to beg you. I'm up here to just share what the word of the Lord is. I want to encourage you. I want you to know that you are good where you are. What do I mean by that? If you know Jesus Christ and you're on fire for God and you love Jesus with all your heart, you're in a good place. And no matter who's listening all around the world, if you know, it's not the church you're in. It's not the building you're in. It's who you know. It's who you know on the inside. Let's go to Philippians 3. Sorry, sound people, we're going all over the place. Philippians 3, this is why it came to me, Pastor Joe. Verse 7, we'll start with. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. You can put everything into possessions and in a moment they'll be gone. Paul's saying, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He realized that there was a greater thing that he had to pursue than what he was pursuing. Paul was excellent in Jewish doctrine. He was elite. I mean, he was sharp. He was a theologian. I mean, he was very sharp with the Jewish faith. He understood it, and he ministered it, and he lived it by the letter. He lived the law down to an art. And that's what he's saying here. What things I gained to me, these I have counted as loss for Christ. None of that mattered to him once he found out the truth. The law, the intellect, the control of things, being above other people. All of a sudden, Paul realized that he's nothing without Christ. Verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So notice something here. All that he learned, all that he had accumulated, he counted as rubbish. And you can look at different translations. Some even say a dunghill. Just garbage. Garbage. All the intellect was garbage compared to knowing Christ. When we look at our own lives, think about that. What we're working for, what we're living for, what our purpose in life is, what we're trying to achieve and accomplish, our goals in life. Do they line up with what Paul's saying? Or are they a pursuit of self-gain? Verse 10, this is where I wanted to get to. Paul says, all that is garbage. All that I build up is nothing. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. He wanted the resurrection from the dead above everything else. He wanted eternal salvation to live with God above everything else. And everything in this life filtered through that one truth. That one thing that he rooted and grounded is to know him, to know Jesus with all of his heart. See, we can say we know something, but a lot of times we don't really know. I can say I know Donald Trump. If he was standing there, I could point him out in a crowd. That's him. But to really know somebody, they got to know you as well. That's true knowing someone. Because I can read about people. I can read about history. I can read about George Washington. But I never knew him on a personal level. Paul said that I may know him. That means there's relationship there. That means there's relationship to a great degree. That when Jesus was ministering, or when Jesus was doing something with his disciples, he would know them, call them by name. He'd pray with them. He'd fellowship with them. He'd eat with them. And then what happened? When he ascended, he said, I will not leave you orphaned. I will give you a helper. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that lives in me, it can live in you. And wherever you go with that Spirit, I am with you also. That's knowing someone. That is such a relationship that Jesus provided by the Spirit, that wherever we go, Jesus lives on the inside of us. It's hard to get away from Jesus when he's living on the inside of you. You have to purposely run from Jesus to get away from him. But what did Paul say? Paul said, I get rid of all that and I run to him. Paul also shared with the church, he shared about that, I don't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but power and demonstration. That power and demonstration was out of the fellowship and the knowing of who he was in Christ. Your words have power based off of who is behind your word. When we speak to sickness, what gives it the power to have to leave? It's the name of Jesus. But we must know him to know that we can speak his name. Because if you don't know him, his name does not operate the same way as if you know him. If I went on someone's property, if I went on my dad's property and someone saw me and they didn't know me for who I was, and they called the cops that I was trespassing, what would I need to do? I'd say, hold on, this is my father's farm. I have the ability to walk here because I know who owns the farm. I have relationship with the one who owns the farm. I have freedom to walk and be here because I'm based off of who I know. And when you apply that to Christ, wherever you go, wherever you tread your foot, you have the authority to stand there and say, you know what? My God, I know Him. When the enemy comes knocking on your door, you can say, nope, this land is God's land. This house is God's house. You cannot dwell in the same house with God because of who I know. When your life has been given to the Lord, you become a child of God. You enter into the family of God, and you have the covenant rights of the family. That you can stand in the places where darkness has no power over you because you entered into the family, the covenant with God. And it gives you great power, not only in the spiritual realm, but even in the natural realm. You'll have favor with God and man because you have covenant with God. And you can stand in places you never thought you'd stand. Like behind a pulpit, ministering to people on a Sunday morning on October 1st, 2023. Never in my wildest dreams would I thought I would be a pastor. But entering into covenant with God, submitting myself to Him, He has done the work to get me where I am now. Because heaven knows I wasn't intellectual enough or smart enough or gifted enough in my own head to do what I'm doing now. I can't stand, I'll be honest with you, I can't stand reading. I have to diligently tell myself, go study. I don't just read books to read books like other people do. I have to devote time to it. And I do that because of who I know. And I do it because the importance of what is in here is my life source. It's my everything. So Paul says that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. When you know Christ, you have to know what He did. He was resurrected. What we did with communion is the very thing that Paul's saying about. I know Him and I know what He did for me. And it brings great power and joy and peace to your life when you know what He's done for you. Oh, what the Lord has done for me. The price that was paid. The blood that was shed. The stripes that were given on the back for my sin. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. We must come to a place where we conform to His death. What do I mean by that? Come to a place of crucifying ourselves and saying, you know what? This life is your life, Lord. It's not mine. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm not of this world. I'm of His world, His kingdom. You come to a place of laying it all down. Laying everything down. And putting it on the altar and saying, you know what? I want to know You more, Lord. I want to trust You more, Lord. I believe in Your resurrection. I believe and I see through Scripture the suffering that You put, that You went through for me. I see the love of God through You. That was poured out on Calvary for me. That I'm loved. That I'm cherished. That I have purpose. And I'm here for a reason. For such a time as this. Oh, that I can know God more. You say, well, you've been to Bible school. You've been doing ministry for 12, 13 years. You know Him. Yeah, I know Him, but there's a whole lot more to know. There's a deeper place to go in God than where I've been. And there's a deeper place for each one of you to go than where you've been. Amen. A deeper place of knowing Him, an intimacy with God. You say, that sounds weird. You may be sitting here saying, intimacy is a strong word. Because you put it with what the world looks at intimacy with. Yeah. But who started intimacy? God. Intimacy with God is such a closeness that nothing is between you and God. This goes back to where I started with the offering message we haven't gotten to yet. Intimacy with God. Such a closeness, a surrender to God. That when you breathe God. When you speak God. When you pray God. It's not you. It's not about you. It's not what you can bring to the table. It's about what He poured out to place in you. It's about what He died for so you could live. That's the place we need to get to, church, because that's the very thing that the world and the enemy are trying to attack, is your intimacy with God, your time with God. Why do you think it is so difficult to spend time in your word and prayer? Because the enemy knows that if you have intimacy with God and you're close with God, He's close with you. And wherever God is, the enemy can't work. So where you place God, the enemy is out of work. He got his pink slip. Can't work there any longer. So with that intimacy and that closeness, it's taking time to say, you know what? Above everything else, God, you're going to be number one. Every morning, I'm going to do this for you, God. Every evening, I'm going to do this. Set some. I'm not telling you what it needs to be. I'm telling you it must be. Let me say that again. I'm not giving you the standard of what it has to be, but it has to be something. I can't stand here and say, well, I'm going to be like Smith Wigglesworth and pray for 4 hours every morning. That's not me. But if I did that, hey, it'll be beneficial, but maybe that's not what the Lord's exactly telling me to be in that time, in that place. You have to find out what you must do to be intimate with God. It's different for every person. Your prayer life is going to be different than somebody else's prayer life. Your devotion and Bible study is going to be different. But you must have it. You must have a prayer life. You must have a Bible study time in your life. You must have quiet time where you get into your closet and you get on your face before God and say, God, reveal to me your heart today. Show me what it is that I need to be doing. Not what I want to do, not what I feel to do, not what others are telling me to do, but what do you have for me today? That's the place we need to get to. Because that's the secret place. That's the intimate place that the enemy cannot touch. He cannot enter into a place of union with God. Where God's light is, darkness cannot be. Submit to God, resist the enemy, and he shall flee. When you take the truth of God's word and you wrap your arms around God and he wraps his arms around you, you feel the tangible love of God. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like being wrapped in the arms of Jesus, knowing that you're in right standing with him, knowing that you're in the right place with God. It's a peaceful, joyous place, but you must make time for it. It's not automatic. The things of God are not automatic to your life. They don't just drop out of heaven like manna and all of a sudden you're super spiritual or super holy or super righteous or super loving. Our love walk doesn't and our faith walk doesn't just happen. You don't just pray those things in. You pray and then you obey. And you do what he says to do out of your prayer time. Amen. I found out here recently that out of my study time, sermons come out of my study time. Not, oh, I'm going to study to get a sermon. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to get in the will of God. Yeah. And just be with him and in his word. And all of a sudden the sermons come out of that. Mm-hmm. We have a mixed view of how we should operate in the kingdom of God. It's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Meditate on his word day and night. Those are the things we need to get to. And I'm not saying this in a condemning way. I'm saying to encourage you, take some time in prayer and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do today? What pastor is saying, how can I apply that to my life? Amen. How can I live a life pleasing to you, Lord? What does that look like to me? And pray into that. And if you need somebody to talk, pastors here will be happy to talk with you about what we do, but not to follow us in that way, but to encourage you that God has a plan for you to get over into a place of intimacy with him. Yeah, yeah. He's not shy. He's not running from you, and it's not hard to get into that place. And I personally, I deal with that too. Like, I want to be more intimate with you, Lord. What can I do to adjust what I'm doing now to be more intimate with you, that I may know you in a greater level, a deeper level? Hallelujah. God's got something for you, and it starts today. Don't let the day-to-day activity dictate the love of God and the presence of God that He wants to pour out in you today. Amen. Just all you need to do is get your vessel prepared for the wine. Get your vessel prepared for God to pour it out. Amen. If you're listening online, get your vessel ready. God wants to pour something into your life that you've never experienced before. That no eye has seen, no ear has heard, but has entered into the heart of man. God is wanting to enter into you and enter into a relationship and an intimate one. He's ready to be your all in all. He desires to be everything to you. Everything to you. What is your desire today, church? What is your desire today? Everyone can bow their head and close their eyes. What is your desire today? That's an excellent question to read where your faith is and where your thoughts are. What is your desire today, church? What are you desiring on the inside today? Is it for, like, I hope we get out of service quick so I can get my lunch and watch my football game? Is that your desire? It could be. It could be. I've had desires like that for years. What is your desire? That gauges how much God is a part of who you are and where you are. Intimacy with God. Those listening online, just bow your head. Open up your heart to what God has. There's a God that loves you. There's a living God that wants to be so close to you that when people see you, they see God. A place that's so near and dear that when they see you or when you speak, they hear God. They feel the love of God when you speak. They sense the presence of God, the light of Jesus on the inside of you, glowing. That intimate, holy place with God. That's where you find this. That's where you connect with heaven. God wants to connect with you in such a way that there's a power supply constantly flowing. Your battery never goes low. Your flame never dwindles. The river never stops flowing. Your belly is constantly churning with the tides of heaven. Constantly flowing deep on the inside of you. Crying out to God, desiring God. Desiring to see His will done, not only in your life, but in your family, in your neighbors, in your coworkers. And even such an intimate desire with God that even you want to see your enemies find Jesus and come to know Him the way you do. That's a deep love desire for God, is to be able to look out and see and have a broken heart for those that are lost. That's a heart's desire, is to lay down your plans and say, you know what, I'm going to make time on Saturday, and I'm going to go soul winning because someone else's life is in the balance, and it's way more important than me going to buy a pair of shoes. Amen. Or mow my grass. God knows you need to get things done and you need to wear clothes and buy shoes. But the most important thing to God, the heartbeat of God, is souls, is people's lives. He created them to worship Him and to love Him. And they do not hear without a preacher. They cannot get it till someone tells them. And you are the one to tell them. Let that burn in your heart this morning. Let that be seared in your spirit. The heart of God is souls. Is other people's lives. The Lord will do a work in you where you're not as selfish, but you're selfless. You'll start wanting to see other people blessed even beyond yourself. That's the heart of God. That's agape love. Unconditional. Self-sacrificial love. Lord, I want you to be blessed above myself. If I get $1,000, I want to give it to somebody that's in greater need than me. To reveal the love of God. To show people that God is a loving God. It's not just about money. It's about time too. God made time for you when He sent His Son to be born of a virgin, to live 30 years, have 3 years of ministry, and die on the cross for you. He made time for you. Oh, now is the time for us to make time for Him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. To reprioritize the things of God in our lives. If you're listening online or you're here today, and something's burning on the inside that, you know, I need to change the way I'm doing things. I need to reschedule my life. Reprioritize my thoughts, my finances, my desires. The things of God are weighing on me, not in a heavy way, but a burden. A burden. A burden. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's your first step in the right direction. If you've been running around, if you've been running away, turn and ask Jesus into your heart. Repent. Ask Him to forgive you. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. Paid the penalty for my sin. And rose again on the third day. I need you, Lord. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. That prayer not only works for salvation, it works for rededication. It works for every person that wants to repent and get right with the Lord. If you've backslidden, fallen away from God, lost your first love, that same prayer works. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to make you first in my life. Lord, help me to be the man or woman of God that you've called me to be. I surrender my life to you. I surrender all to you. Even my finances, Lord, I surrender them to you. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to love you with all of my heart. I'm going to trust you in every endeavor. I'm going to ask for your wisdom in every situation. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my cry, for hearing my prayer, for making time for me. It's these places that you draw closer to God. If you're believing God for a more intimate relationship with Him, it's a simple, faith-filled prayer. Lord, forgive me for the life that I've lived. Lord, thank you for showing me how to live for you. I open up my heart and my mind to be used by you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, and I won't be ashamed of it. I break the spirit of fear off of my life, worry, anxiety, the fast-paced nature of this world. I break it off. I'm going to go when you tell me to go. I'll step when you tell me to step. I'll stay when you tell me to stay. I live and move in you. And nothing else will move me but you. A total surrender. A total surrender. Jesus. Jesus. If you need healing in your body, anyone that needs healing in their body, I want them to come forward. Got pain in your body, got discomfort, got a bad report. Headache, arm, back, leg. The Lord wants to touch your body. He heals. He's a great physician. He's a great physician. I just want to release those online. We love you. We thank you for joining us. God bless you online. Well, praise God. Just as the Bible says,